Good evening, Grace Church. Happy New Year to everybody. How's everyone doing tonight? Good, good, good. As everybody take your seat, turn to a neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm happy to see your smile in the place. And once you greet that person, turn to the next one and say the same to the next. But before we get started, we have a few announcements we want to say. Well, first of all, we want to welcome everybody tonight, even those who are online in our virtual sanctuary. Welcome to Grace Church. Thank y'all for visiting with us tonight. We hope that you enjoy what Pastor had to speak on, what the word of the Lord is on tonight. So before we get started, we have a few announcements to make. The first announcement is Mission Louisiana pledges. If anyone haven't given your Mission Louisiana pledges in now, we ask that you give your pledges in. You can go online until our giving app and give. You can click on the Mission Louisiana tab and give your Mission Louisiana pledge there. That's going towards the dorms and everything that the mission that the district is trying to do up there. They're doing great things, you guys, and let's support them. The next thing is 21 Days of Sacrifice. We are on day 3. So I'm hoping everyone is doing a great job of keeping your sacrifice. So we are on our 21 Day of Sacrifice. Our 21 Day of Sacrifice will conclude on January 26th. So you guys, I'm praying for all of y'all. I'm rooting for all of you guys. I'm rooting for myself because it is a long road. But we're going to make it through. Amen. Amen. Last thing is save the date for all our men. Where all our men at? No men in the house? Come on, brothers, let me hear you. Well, we got a few. So all of our men, young men, we on January 25th, we are starting off our men's prayer at 9 a.m. It will be the last Saturday of each month. So you guys, we would love to see the men in the place. The women have us beat on Tuesdays. So let's do it. Let's show up. Let's reach the heavens and tear down some walls. You guys, men, we're looking for you guys to be there. And so those are your announcements. And so before Pastor come up, you guys, I wanted to share something with you all. How many of you guys enjoy all the messages from Christmas Sunday up until the Sunday this past Sunday? So within those two with all those messages from Pastor Murphy on Christmas, the following message from Brother Ben, and then this past Sunday with Brother Jason, God has done two things. He has given us direction, and he has given us a reminder. The first direction is that we may not know what happens in 2025, because some of us is already going through some things before 2025 that is lingering too. And some of us have yet to see what's yet to come. But he has prepared us with those words that have been spoken with all three speakers. The second, he has reminded us that he is with us. So no matter what you go through in 2025 or what you're going through now, remember he is with you. There are so many scriptures that he tells us that he will never fail us and he will never forsake us, meaning that he will not leave you. And he will not let you down. So in the year 2025, I will ask and challenge you guys to let the year 2025 be a year of thanksgiving, because we have something to be thankful for, that we are thankful that he is with us. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to leave us. And he's going to guide us through every situation that we go through. So as I hand it over to Pastor Murphy, everybody, let's stand up and give God a praise as Pastor Murphy comes.
Thank you, sir. Good job. Good job. Let's give Brother EJ some appreciation tonight. Did a great job opening the service. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, you've looked at your neighbor on each side. Look at the most convenient one to your side and tell him I like your hairdo. Thank the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Brother EJ, doing a great job tonight opening the service. I appreciate it so very much. And along with Brother EJ, great to see everyone here tonight. Thank you so very much for being here, our first Wednesday night of 2025. And it's nice to see all of you here tonight. And thank you so very much for coming. I want to jump into our Bible study tonight, and as I usually do, I like to comment on the Sunday service. This past Sunday was, I thought it was just absolutely amazing. The past two Sundays especially, Brother Ben preached, as Brother EJ referenced, and then Brother Jason last Sunday. They didn't know what each other was preaching, and essentially ended up pretty much a carbon copy of each other. That was the most interesting thing I've ever witnessed in ministry. It just has really struck me that God dealt with both of these men. The fact that I asked him to preach back to back like that, and then God spoke to them in the way he did, tells us that there may be some trying times, but in the midst of that, there's going to be tremendous blessing, the miraculous, what have you. I'm thankful to be in the church tonight. I'm thankful to be in the kingdom of God. And everyone say amen. Amen. I want to teach for a little while tonight. But before I do, there's a couple of things that I want to mention. And I want this to start off as our a 2025 statement that I have felt very passionate about in the past few months, and that is that when all of you became a part of Grace Church, whenever that was, I look at Boo and Melanie sitting here tonight, and I know they've been here in excess of 25 years, if I'm thinking correctly. At least 20, but we've been here 32 years. Maybe they've been here closer to 30 years. There's others here tonight that have been here a long time. Whether you're the most senior person at Grace Church right now, I believe it's Cassie Crochet. She was here when we came here. And she started attending this church when it was in Baker when she was 4 years old. So she's been here a minute. Or if you're the latest, newest person here today, tonight, I believe that God most oftentimes leads people. He'll direct your thoughts, your paths, to where you should be in church, to where you should go to church. I believe he does that because he knows who you are, where you are, what your needs are, and then he knows the pastor and the leadership team of the church that you're attending, and so God wants you to be under that pastor, that leadership team, etc. And that's why it concerns me so very much when people just want to exit a church, whether it's this one to go somewhere else or to exit another church to come here. I like to know, I like to feel it in my spirit that it's okay for people to leave Grace Church. I like to feel like it's okay. Most of the time I do not. There's times that I've told people absolutely that resonates with me and you should make this move. But most of the time, vast majority of the time, I ask them to prayerfully consider that and it does not resonate with me and they go on anyway. I believe God brings people, and it could be part of the reason why there's so many churches available to people, churches of the same faith, so many different pastoring styles, young pastors, old pastors, medium-aged pastors, tall pastors, thin pastors, short pastors, the other kind of pastor. White-headed pastors, brown-headed, no hair on their head pastors, whatever it is. God brings you there for a purpose. I don't want to make this too humorous. But so as long as you're at Grace Church, then you're under the direction and tutelage of Pastor Murphy. And I think that agrees, from what I understand, what I feel, with most everybody here. And I do understand there's time to time that people get sideways with me, and there's times I get sideways with you. So it goes back and forth. But we all stay. We all stay knowing it is the will and purpose of God. So that is what is behind my passion, my deep passion for this pulpit. That is what is behind my deep reverence for this pulpit. I have always strived to come prepared. Is it strived or striven? I don't think striven's a word, some of you English people. Whatever the word is, you know what I mean. I make a giant effort. It's a huge priority to me to always come to the pulpit prepared. It's because God has brought you folks here. I believe he brought me here, my family here, 32 years ago, to do this job. And we do it with all of our might and all of our heart. And I want to say, especially if God brings you to a church where you pray through the Holy Ghost in that church. God brought you to that church oftentimes because of that pastor, because he could develop you and work with you and what have you. Sometimes pastors get off track and it messes that up, and sometimes church people do dumb stuff and it messes that up, but that's God's intent. And even if you've been backslidden, or you just quit going to XYZ church in the area and God brings you here, I believe there's a purpose behind that. I don't believe anybody accidentally walks in, is my point. I don't believe it's coincidental. I believe God has a reason for you being here, whether it always feels good or not. There's still that underlying reason. So when I come to the pulpit to present a Bible study, when I come to the pulpit to preach on Sunday, and to the very best of my ability, I do not invite anyone to come speak in this pulpit unless I feel very confident about their relationship with God and their love for God's people, and that includes our JVers. I want them to know that, I want you to know that Pastor believes, Pastor's behind them. If I wasn't, they wouldn't be up here. I want you to know that, in my opinion, they love God and they love this church. The second thing that drives Pastor to do what I do, and perhaps why I should do it, is I feel a deep, necessary obligation to preach and teach the entire Word of God. As much of it as I even reasonably understand. I want to present it to you. I don't want to hold anything back from the Word of God. I don't want to withhold things from God, from the Word of God. And I certainly don't want to cut anything out of it. So those comments being made when we had Communion Sunday, I meant very passionately when we invited you to come and partake in the communion supper, that you come pure, that you come clean, that you come committed. I want to begin our first Wednesday night in 2025. Maybe this is, we didn't have service on the first one. It was January the 1st, so it's the first time we're in church. But I want to present to you material tonight and for the next several Wednesday nights on a subject that's very dear to my heart, and a subject that is so biblical. It is as biblical as one God. It is as biblical as Jesus' name baptism. It is as biblical as receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that is, after you're born again, God, the Word of God and the Spirit of God will direct you into a lifestyle, a lifestyle, not an occasional event-driven thing, but it's a lifestyle. It's where the Holy Ghost really works in you to make you that person that God wants you to be, that God wants you to be in His kingdom. So I want to begin reading tonight in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. And I want everybody to understand here tonight, and I say this over and over, and I'm not sure people hear it. I'm not sure people believe it. Maybe they believe it and defer acting on it. I'll do it later kind of thing. But when you stand before God at some point in the realm of eternity, in whatever order that comes, the Bible is very clear in the book of Revelation that the books are going to be opened. And that's what God is going to use as a standard by which to judge whether you go to heaven or hell. It's the Bible. I want everybody to understand that. It's not what the preacher says. It's what the Bible says. It's not the way your friends live and conduct their lives. It don't matter. Culture, it doesn't matter. Your one standard of operation for Christian lifestyle comes from the Bible itself. Period. Everybody say amen. Everybody understand? I hope you do. 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And then worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It does not say worship the Lord in the beauty of how good you are, how well you can sing, how well you can play an instrument, how faithful you are. There's a standard through which the Lord wants you to worship him. 2 Chronicles 20:21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. This is Solomon. And that should praise the beauty of holiness. I want to make clear what the Bible is saying. That's not a misprint. The word "that" doesn't seem like it should be there, but it does. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. The word "that" means to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish. So he is saying he appointed singers unto the Lord, and to be clear, to be shine, to shine, to make a show, to boast, and thus to be glamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96:9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. So I want to teach for a little while, and this will probably be the fifth or sixth time I've taught this material since we've been on this campus. As a matter of fact, I taught it last January. But I just want to start off 2025 with everybody knowing what Grace Church believes and teaches when it comes to this subject. I'll spend several Wednesday nights on it, and I'll conclude this going into far greater detail than I have in the past. The clutch scripture in the Bible to me pertaining to holiness is Hebrews 12:14, to follow peace with all men. That means to be as peaceful, to work out your hurts and all of that, to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The two words "shall see" in Hebrews 12:14 means to gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable, and does not mean with simply voluntary observation or merely mechanical, passive, or casual vision, but still more emphatically with intense, earnest, and more continued inspection. It's what the two words "shall see" means. This Bible material, this Bible-based material, is for everyone who has a desire to please God. And I'll say it again. We've said it many times, and I think everybody understands it by now, but I'll say it again. Anyone is welcome to attend Grace Church as long as they're not divisive and being hurtful to the people that are here. So you can be a part of Grace Church as an attender. That means anybody. They don't have to do anything except not be destructive. Can be an attender. And then the second way you can be a part of Grace Church is through membership. We have the four membership classes. We call them Grace Steps. As all of you know, and most everyone in the sanctuary tonight, if you're 18 and up, has been through it. To all of our students here tonight, when you turn 18, right now you're under the auspices of your parents or parent. When you turn 18, you need to go through the Grace Membership Church for yourself. We ask that you obey and believe Acts 2:38 to be faithful and tithe, but you can't be in leadership just as a member. You don't even have to adhere to holiness standards to be a member, but you cannot be in leadership. We go a step further. Leadership is to obey Acts 2:38, to be faithful, tithe, and then to live the lifestyle of holiness that we teach here at Grace Church. We try to be as kind as we can with this. We try to give people as much latitude as possible. But sometimes we have to talk to people. Don't happen very often, but sometimes we do. But this is still applicable to everybody. And if you are in leadership and decide you do not want to live holiness standards anymore, it would be a courtesy for you to let me know. And if you're in a leadership role, then you don't have to leave Grace Church, but you can just have a seat and just be a member of Grace Church, saying this as kindly as I can. So it is a necessity for all church leadership to believe and live the lifestyle of holiness that we teach here at Grace Church, which you will see over the ensuing Wednesday nights is very biblical, and we're not making it up. I believe in Christian lifestyle or holiness. I believe we should be different from the world. I believe Jesus teaches that we should be different from the world. Jesus did teach that we should be different from the world. If we're not any different from the world, then what's the point in being at church? So it's essential tonight that everybody be open to the Word of God and to have a spirit of willingness, a spirit of desire, and a spirit of obedience. Obedience goes such a long way with God. Yes, it does. To God, obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible said. So let me give you the concept for holiness tonight. In John 3:5, if you're familiar with that, we have some Bible quizzers here tonight that should be familiar with that verse. It's where Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, under the cover of darkness, that a man must be born again of water and of spirit. You must be born again of water and spirit. We come to understand the fulfillment of that happened in Acts chapter 2, when people in Jerusalem began to repent, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in Jesus' name, and that set the precedent and the understanding and fulfillment for what John 3:5 says. So without the new birth, without being born again, Jesus was very emphatic, you cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost, according to the book of Romans. So if John 3:5 is a critical verse in the Bible, then I believe so is Hebrews 12:14. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that John 3:5 trumps Hebrews 12:14. I believe they both stand on equal footing. One teaches the new birth, the other teaches holiness. They both have equal merit. They both have equal authority. And I want to submit to you again, if you choose not to live Christian lifestyle or holiness, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your thought processes were going into that. You're still going to be judged by the Bible. So if John 3:5 is an important and essential teaching, then I believe Hebrews 12:14 is an important and essential teaching, where the Bible says to be at peace with all men, and without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The new birth, everybody understand, the new birth, repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, without speaking in other tongues. The new birth is the entrance to the kingdom of God. And holiness is the pathway. When you come out of the world into the kingdom of God, your own start. You're given $200, and you go a little bit here and there, and you want to pass up the go-to-jail square. I'm using Monopoly for those of you that are missing that point. But you start on a path. The first square you start on is some level and merit of holiness, because you're clean, you've repented, you've been baptized, and you're filled with the Spirit of God. So you're in the sight of God, you're right with God. You're holy at that moment. Probably about the holiest you'll ever be. I say that, smile on my face, but I say it truthfully. So when you got a lot, you have a lot of latitude. God's looking at you like a newborn baby, an infant. The two infants that Sister Murph and I had were beautiful, gorgeous. They were perfect. They were absolutely perfect. Even though they couldn't talk, they couldn't walk, they couldn't feed themselves, they couldn't do anything for themselves, but they were perfect, right? So were your kids when they were born. And when we're born again in the eyes of God, doesn't matter all the things we can or cannot do. At that moment, in the sight of God, we're perfect according to His plan. And you start this pathway of living the rest of your life being nurtured by the Spirit of God, being fed by the Spirit of God. You're in a church. You have a support group, people around you. You have Sunday school teachers. God throws all kinds of people in your life. Pastor, assistant pastor, ministry team. All kind of people to help teach you and lead you and guide you in the pathway of God and so on. But it's all done in a pathway called holiness. A lot of people don't like that word. A lot of people have butchered that word. People have gone too far. Other people haven't gone far enough. The Bible teaches a very clear path, and it's not hard. I believe that the principles of holiness are the same everywhere. On this planet, the principles of holiness are the same. But the application can be different because of culture and traditions. They vary from continent to continent. So again, the concepts and principles of holiness are the same everywhere. I will illustrate it this way. Go to the most remote jungle in South America and teach the same holiness message that you do in Antarctica. Does anybody feel me here tonight? All right. There's principles of holiness. God knowing that there's going to be thousands of cultures all around the world at any given time. So He gave us the principles of holiness and then the wise way to apply them. I want to cover this tonight. I promise I'm going as quickly as I can, but I want to go too fast. For most people here tonight that are of the South, in the South, good Southern people, eat fried chicken. Chicken and sausage gumbo, boiled crawfish, good Southern people. Northern people go, ew, y'all eat crawfish. And my response to that is, you do not know what you're missing, and I'm very sorry for you. Come to the South, to Canaan's land, where it flows with milk and honey in abundance. But for all of us, most of us here tonight, we sometimes, and I've talked to a lot of people that do this, they fail to understand that there are biblical standards, there are traditional standards that are not necessarily biblical. Hello? There's cultural standards that I just mentioned. You go to a church in Australia, it's going to be different than this one. The way they have church is different. But it's okay. It's our culture. They have cultural standards. And then there's people that have personal standards, or more adequately said, personal convictions. And I know people that have personal convictions, and usually it has something to do with their past, when before they converted, and God has given them a more staunch conviction on things than He does someone else that has not been exposed to the same thing in their past. Where there's the more rub, we can understand the cultural and personal concepts. and principles of standards. But the biblical and traditional is where the big rub is most of the time. When you have somebody that's my age or older and not that many years younger, by God, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus that when we came to church in 1963, this is the way they did it. Well, we're not in 1963 no more. God hasn't changed. The Spirit of God hasn't changed. But culture goes on. Right? Can't spend a lot of time here. But do you understand, if you look at the life of Abraham, how little culture changed from then until the time Jesus was born? Think about that. Now, everything is haywire. I mean, things that are invented, as soon as you buy that new Apple Watch, it's obsolete. Man, you, those of you that got one for Christmas, I want to burst your bubble. It's already obsolete. They got something else coming. But the church and its passion and its presentation of holiness may change. When I was a kid, I've never saw a pastor in the pulpit on Wednesday night without a necktie. I mean, you are headed for hell, fire, and damnation. I'm being very respectful. It was the way it was. I remember Brother Tenney mentioning over and over going to the old Brush Harbor. I'm not even sure. I've never been to one. I've heard what it is, but I've never been to one. Sawdust floors and tree trunks cut in half and just turned over, and that's what you sit on, and one little light bulb coming down from a thatch roof ceiling, something, something. The way I understand it, the tents they used to sell July 4th fireworks in now is better than the Brush Harbor was. I'm glad we moved on. I like the chair I sat in versus sitting on a stump. And I don't believe it's a sin. I'm going to push a button here, buddy. Music, singing, and song. How is God going to ever rapture a church if they've not memorized the entire hymn, Amazing Grace? I bemoan the fact that we have kids here right now that don't know it, but I don't see in the Bible that you have to know that song to go to heaven. I'm being honest. Do I like it all the time? No. I'd like to sing Amazing Grace once in a while. And I've even asked our music director, can you do that once in a while? And it's no. We've moved on from. So you have biblical standards and traditional standards. I say what will save you or not is what the Bible says, not what somebody said 50 years ago that can't necessarily be backed up by the Bible. Okay. And then it's very clear in my mind, and I teach this very passionately, is especially in the New Testament, in the age of the church, after the Holy Ghost fell, there's three areas where God demands holiness. Is it modesty? I can never be as explicit with that as I want to be. But God wants men and women to dress modest. Bible teaches modesty, moderation. Don't be an idiot and go too far one way or the other. And distinction. He wants to see a difference between the sexes. There's a distinction between the world and the church, between men and women and so on. Modesty, moderation, and distinction are essential and are often based on the culture or tradition of a particular nation, country, etc. There are Bible-based standards, which are a minimum requirement, but as your relationship with God develops, you may develop personal convictions to go beyond that. That's fine, just don't impose them on others if it's a personal conviction. It's imperative to stay open to God. The more you develop your relationship with God through holiness, the more of God you will see. I want to say it straight up. I believe people have strong misunderstandings of God, strong misunderstandings of the Word of God, is because you're carnal. You're too fleshy, not flashy. Fleshy, you're carnal. Lack of prayer, lack of Bible study. You can ask the average apostolic to give me a brief rundown of what holiness is, and they can't do it. It's not because the pastor don't teach it. I teach it. And because of the internet, I don't have to teach it every week. You can listen to it and watch this anytime you want. Pull it up on your computer screen. We don't have a desire to know what it says. It's not a big deal to us. And that's why we flounder so much. But it is through the conduit of holiness that revelation of God comes and understanding of God comes. The more you're like Him, the more you're going to know Him. So it's important that you develop your relationship with God through holiness. And everyone agrees that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, all of that, is an essential part of discipleship. But it's not holiness. People say, well, I'm a good person. Okay, well, you got a nice attribute of the gift of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you're holy. I know a lot of good people that's not holy people. Everybody that goes to a funeral and you got the old fella up here, old grandma up here, and boy, they're in heaven, they're in heaven, they're in heaven. Well, how do you know that? Because they were a good person. That doesn't qualify you to go to heaven. And it's not holiness. Listen to Pastor. Everybody, please listen. When the Bible said to follow peace with all men, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes into this. But when you follow God, it's through the conduit of holiness. You be nice to people because you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You have those attributes because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But to please God, it requires you be holy. So you could sell everything you have and give it to the poor and die, and that's not going to get you one step closer to heaven than not doing it. Goodness doesn't save people. The Bible is very clear on works. Doesn't save you. Okay. Fruit of the Spirit is follow peace with all men. Holiness, Christian lifestyle, is doing what God wants you to do, obeying what God teaches you to do. Follow, the word follow, is to pursue or maintain a lifelong desire. It says to follow peace. It's to pursue, to maintain a lifelong desire, to be at peace with all people, and holiness. It's a pursuit. It's you stay with it. Holiness is not what's perfected in our life. Holiness is not what's perfected in our life. God is in our life, and holiness is a result of it. We get the cart before the horse, and we worship holiness. There's people that make an idol out of holiness. Got to be holy, 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 holy. There could be those angels in heaven that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 6. They just stand around the throne going, holy, 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 holy. You could be one of them people. You make an idol out of holiness. That's not what God means, and that's not what God desires. Holiness is not what's perfected. I've heard people say that I live a holy lifestyle, so that should merit me something. That's not applicable. That's not the principle of holiness. You get God on the inside of you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and as a result, you become holy because of it. There's a reason that all of you, everybody here tonight has a mother. How many people here have not have a mother? My word. You people not raising your hand, where did you come from? Thought everybody would have a mother. When we were born, there's reasons why we don't have hair all over our body like a dog and walk on all four legs. We have the DNA of humanity. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get the DNA of divinity. And so that's what makes you look the way you look as a Christian person. It's the DNA, the spiritual DNA on the side of you, as of the filling of the Holy Ghost. I want everybody to listen, especially some of our senior people here tonight. Holiness is not attaining to a point. It's not saying, okay, well, I obey this verse, and I do it perfectly. Therefore, I am holy. Holy is not a point. It's not attaining to a point. It's just simply a lifestyle you live every day because God is on the inside of you. I'm still on church starting at 7:30 tonight. I'm sorry about that. I'm kidding. I'm going to wrap up here in just a minute. Peter said in his epistle, 1 Peter 1:15, 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy," God is holy. He called you. The one who called you is holy. "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That conversation is actually conduct. Doesn't it make sense? If God is holy, then he wants us to be holy. What would be the point if God is holy, but he's okay with us being a heathen? Why did he die at Calvary then? He died at Calvary to empower us to be like him, and that's the point. And if you're not like him, then I do not believe you're ready for the rapture. Conversation, again, is lifestyle, conduct, and behavior. I promise you I'm still in my introduction tonight, so we'll resume next Wednesday night. I want to just everybody to understand, holiness is not our God. We do not worship holiness at this church. We worship God at this church. And we are holy as a byproduct of God being on the inside of us. And you may ask, then, how do I know, how can I be comfortable in the fact that I'm holy or if I'm doing wrong? It's when you do something and something goes off in your mind or heart and you just say immediately to yourself, "I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't wear that. I shouldn't be like that." Your conscience, Brother Alan Ogg called the world's greatest preacher. God will use that little tool in the back of your head behind your ear to tell you that you should not be doing certain things. I will say tonight, if you are, I say this very respectfully, if you're ignorant of the Word of God, then you rely on the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in you, to lead and guide you. And that's where most new converts learn their relationship with God. It's kind of like getting your hand slapped when you were a baby fooling with your mama's whatnots or telling your mama no. And she said, "Don't you ever talk to me like that again." That's being led by the Spirit, so to speak, as a new convert. You don't understand English. You don't understand consequences. You don't. So that little pop right there gets your attention, and it will remind you, if it happens enough, to quit fooling with stuff you're not supposed to be fooling with. Y'all feel me? All right, so when a new convert comes to God, they will automatically quit doing things, not because they're theologians in the Bible, but because their brand new Holy Ghost on the inside of them is telling them, hey, don't do that, don't do that. I could give you 1,000 illustrations along that line where I know the people that this has happened to because they told me. But as you age in your relationship with God, then you're being taught the Word of God, even when you get carnal. You still know that doing certain things are not pleasing to God. And so this is the beginning of why holiness is, because it's the nature of God. And when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he gives his nature to us. And then we pursue this pathway to be as much like him as we possibly can. Will you ever be a carbon copy of God? Probably not. But I always say it this way, and I'm concluding with this. I made the top of my hand red. I corrected my own self here tonight. My goodness, got a little carried away. You have to understand, and this is my very strong and passionate opinion, on this is how God looks at us. Are we perfect? No. And it burns me up when people say, "Well, they ain't perfect." No one is. No one is. When you passed from the first grade to the second grade, it did not mean that you were the peak of theologian, scholar, top of the world, all knowledge, whatever. Very honestly, when you exit the first grade, you're still not all that bright. You can't do the square root of a number. You don't know my favorite slang words, jack squat, whatever that means, about algebra or geometry. When you pass first grade, you might can multiply a little, maybe. You're not that smart. Even if you were on honor roll, if there was such a thing for first grade, you're still not that smart. But you passed. You passed and was perfect because of what was required. It was required at a level that you could do it and you could master it. So now the second grade gets a little harder. And the third grade is kind of a beast for a lot of, they really step it up, okay? We need to move on here past the first grade thing. And then you get to the seventh grade, and then you get to the 12th grade, and then you graduate with a bachelor's degree. Never understood bachelor's degree. Is it because you're still single? And some of you may not be, I don't know. And then you get your master's degree and you get really smart, and then you get a doctor's degree. And then you can be a doctorate, excuse me. You can get your doctorate, and then you can become a rogue scholar. And pretty soon, you just max out, and that's about the time you die. Right? But you still die not knowing everything. You're perfect according to your maturity, your development, and so on. That's why it's so important to have a pastor that can help along that line, what have you, church leaders that help along that line. When you pray through the Holy Ghost, you are perfect, probably more perfect at that very moment than most of the people in the building. You are. You're brand new. You hadn't even had a chance to sin yet. Watched a man pray through the Holy Ghost and dance and shout for 45 minutes, sweat pouring down his face. And he sat down and blurted out the D word, said, D, that feels good. He sinned right before he even got started. He wasn't even 60 seconds into his relationship with God and messed up. Want everybody to understand this. You folks up here, y'all going to make a lot of mistakes. You are. You're going to do them. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. But when you've been in this for a while, you've been in the way, as the Old Testimony goes. I've been in the way for 40 years. We know if you get out of the way, church can move home, whatever. But after you've had, you're spirit led for a great part of your new convert life, but then you start learning the Bible, and then you become Word of God and spirit led. And that's the beautiful thing. Does that make sense to everybody here tonight? Shake your head if it makes sense here tonight. So why holiness? It's taking on those attributes of God, the nature of God, and He just simply wants you to be like Him. That's why He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. True test of love. I could go on and on, but I'll finish tonight right here. Let's stand. I'd like for us to take a moment tonight to pray for one another. If you feel comfortable, maybe put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Let's pray that God would draw us close to Him this year. Let's pray that we could begin this year coming clean, coming pure, and coming committed. Father, we love you tonight, and I'm thankful for this privilege, this opportunity to have spent the last 40 minutes and Bible study, and rich Bible study, and formative Bible study that's easy to understand. And I would pray tonight that even the youngest in here tonight would understand it, could perceive it, could grab a hold of it. I pray in Jesus' name that you would guide this church, lead this church. Help us, God, to be so close to you, to stay firmly in the palm of your hand. Keep your arms wrapped tightly around us. Guide us, I pray. Guide us to heavenly places, to heavenly things, to revival, to harvest, to a move of God. Help us to be sensitive, to be obedient, to be committed to what it is that you want us to do and be. We ask it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you all so very much. Thank you for your time and attention. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name, thank you for being here.